One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Hey guys, thanks for coming back to the show. I hope you had a safe 4th of July. I hope that you didn't go back to work too fucked up and hungover. That's the real problem when the 4th falls in midweek.
Yeah, or without digits. Like if you lose some fingers. There's a famous defensive player.
Oh, I thought Bobby was like, oh, if you didn't get a girl's phone number, you just wasted the holiday.
Blew it, man.
I think it's Jason Pierre-Paul is a famous football player for the Giants who's a defensive end. He famously, in the middle of his career, in the highlight, he's the star of their team, one of the stars of that defense, blew his hand off with some fireworks. And still plays. To this day, still
to
plays.
To this day?
Yeah, still plays.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. The great thing about defensive end is you don't
what
actually...
What, like Luke Skywalker at the end of Empire Strikes Back? Or
no, he's just Captain Hook. All O-line guys get really cut up. No, he's the great thing about being a D-line guy is like you need an arm to kind of swim move people, but you don't actually need a hand because you're just trying to knock the ball down or tackle the quarterback.
I was gonna say, if he's a wide receiver,
yeah.
That's
yeah,
gotta
yeah, that's,
be over.
That's way more impressive.
So
I just need a nub.
I gotta read this to you guys. This was just brought by to my attention by the unofficial 4th degenerate John Grooves.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Okay, this is a piece of fiction. The cover, an actual book. This. If you look at it, Bobby, just from afar without reading too much about it,
right.
This looks like your average James Patterson novel or Tom Clancy
yarn.
Yeah,
it looks like a Hunt for Red October kind of thing.
Yeah, something you would see at either the grocery store or airport.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Looks like, you know, a 50-year-old balding man would read it.
It's a big red star, and it says trigger warning.
Big red star. That, yes,
Dave, I think you may have a lawsuit against them. I believe an album called that.
William W. Johnstone. Not Johnstone. I'm not misreading that. Johnstone.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, with J.A. Johnstone. Well, I don't know what he's doing there. So, trigger warning, the tagline is, there are no safe spaces.
Wow.
Let me read you the synopsis.
It's fantastic.
Of this novel. Oh, by the way, right when you read the synopsis, you realize he couldn't decide on a tagline. He decided to throw another one in there. Political correctness won't save you.
Got to get them all in. Who knows?
Which one are we doing here, John Stone?
By the way, if you're thinking that political correctness is going to quote unquote save you in any situation, you're probably not understanding the concept. That's like being like peanut butter. It won't save you. And you're like, that's not what it's for.
Yeah.
It's to make sandwiches better.
If your kid has a peanut allergy, it might save you.
Your peanut allergy won't save you. I'm not saying it will.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I would like things to be a certain way.
I'm not saying this is going to save us. Can we just stop yelling the N-word from the back of pickup trucks? That's all I'm saying.
No. All right. So, and again, this is not satire. I read this. I just wanted to save everyone a Google search, but please go ahead. Is that when I read this, when my buddy John posted it, and I'm like, oh, somebody did this. This is fantastic.
I for sure thought it was satire.
It's like
too.
The Onion, but as a fake book.
Yes. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to look this up. They're going to be like, this is a pretty popular meme going around. And it's like, no, this guy's got like 81 books. All right. Former Army Ranger Jake Rivers is not your typical Kelton College student. He is not spoiled, coddled, or ultra-lib like his classmates who sneer at the soldier boy, quote-unquote.
Yeah, that happens a lot, by the way.
Yeah, every time when I was in college and some guy came in like, and it just said like Army Strong, I was like, fuck you.
Oh, really? You were a Ranger? Fuck off!
Yeah.
And just to the listeners know, and Bobby know, about one word in every single sentence is in quotes. It's like this guy just discovered the quote button on his keyboard.
And I'll tell you where all of them are too. Next paragraph. Rivers is not quote unquote triggered by quote unquote microaggressions. He is not outraged by quote unquote male privilege and quote unquote cisgender bathrooms.
Isn't this amazing?
He does not need, quote-unquote, safe spaces or coloring books. Who said we needed coloring books?
I wouldn't mind a coloring book.
I didn't even know that was a stereotype. I didn't even know it was a stereotype.
Coloring books won't save you, Dave.
I would love to see...
We'll see about that.
I would love to see an Army Ranger or Navy SEAL showing up to cash in on his GI Bill.
Right.
And going, by the way, Professor, just to let you know, I won't be needing a coloring book. Like,
right.
This is intro to philosophy. Did you think there'd be coloring? All
I did bring my own crayons, though.
They're the shape of M16 bullets. All right. Reavers is not triggered by microaggressions. He's not outraged by male privilege and cisgender bathrooms. By the way, of course he wouldn't be outraged by cisgender bathrooms. Right. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
Jake needs an education. And I bet he does. And when terror strikes, the school needs Jake. All right, already, this sounds like when I was in third grade, and I was sitting like in class, like staring at Bree Condon. And I'm like, the only way to impress a girl that hot is if like terrorists took over this classroom. And I single-handedly like fended them off. I know you had that fantasy.
Dude, I still do that today. I had this bit that I was working on that I was saying, and I think this is true for some, at least in some
sense. Some cisgender people.
Yeah. If you are in a room with a bunch of guys, let's say you're in a classroom, there's 15 dudes, 15 chicks. Almost every guy in that room has decided if the apocalypse hit right then and the shit happened, which guys in that room he could beat up and which women he would first take as his brides. They've already decided that. It's been figured out since second period.
And J.A. Johnstone, a.k.a. William Johnstone, has written a whole novel to that effect.
Dude, this novel sounds like if in an alternate universe, Sean Hannity wrote Red Dawn. This is what it sounds like.
Without warning, the sounds of gunfire plunge the campus into a battle zone. Okay, battle would imply, Bobby, stop me if I'm wrong, that there's
somebody else is going.
Yeah,
they're
able to fight back. Right. Like, did the students have guns?
Yeah, or maybe there's a cop. I don't know.
It's a massacre if it's not a battle. So, okay. But if you call it a massacre, well, then that calls for gun control. We can't have that. Without warning, the sounds of gunfire plunge the campus into a battle zone. A violent gang of Dave, what is this word?
About marauders.
What is marauders? I'm sorry.
Bandits.
Yeah. Well, it's a roving group of bandits that are taking whatever they want.
Yeah.
I can just see fucking Johnstone, like a roving gang of, I can't say pirates. Pirates is weird.
What are land pirates? How do you call land pirates?
Land pirates. Okay, I used terrorists once. I'm going to use it again.
I want to say brown people, but I just got to think of something that'll fit in there.
I mean, we're going to definitely call them brown people within the first chapter.
Yeah. See, the way he says roving band marauders, it makes me think of the end of Weird Science when they're having that party and the motorcycle gang breaks in and tries to take over.
There you go.
It's so, okay, so the Hills Have Eyes freaks show up.
Yeah.
They go, woo! And steal all their milk. All right, so the marauders invade the main hall, taking students as hostages for big ransom money. That was his adjective. He went with marauders.
Yeah.
And then just,
it's like he just lost the thesaurus for a second. He's been using all like semi
big money bucks.
Big ransom.
Big ransom money bucks. All right. As a veteran and patriot, Jake won't give in to their demands. Because you don't negotiate with marauders.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
Also, by the way, I like the idea that he could. Like, somebody, they'd be like, we're taking these kids hostage. And he would just pull out his wallet and be like, all right.
Yeah, like come on. They're not making demands of him.
Let me solve this.
They're not telling him.
They gave me a meal plan. I said no to the coloring book. You don't want a coloring book, do you? Because I don't have one.
I mean, like.
I also turned in on a meal plan because I am not spoiled. I want you to know that.
Not giving in to their demands isn't his choice. It's just the only option he has. Because he's not a multimillionaire.
All right. So as a veteran and patriot, Jake won't give another demands, but to fight back, he needs to enlist his fellow classmates to school these special snowflakes in a, he said snowflakes in the dust jacket.
But isn't he referring to the marauders as snowflakes?
No, his classmates.
Okay, this is too school.
He's got to teach these snowflakes.
I got you.
Yeah, but if I bet he needs to enlist the fellow classmates to school these special snowflakes in the not so liberal art of war.
See how I did a play on liberal arts there, Bobby? Jesus. What do you think of that? That's pretty good, right?
This time, the aggression isn't micro. Oh, my God. I don't think Johnstone has a Twitter or I'd be sending him this episode. Oh, that's for snowflakes. It isn't micro. It's life or death. And the strong survive. Well, your classmates are dead by your own admission.
Yeah. That is interesting. One is there has to be this going around everywhere because this is the political version of trashy romance novels, right?
Yes.
This is like, this might as well have Fabio on the cover wearing an Army Ranger uniform.
Yeah, exactly.
Riding a horse for
making
some reason.
Making out with a bald eagle.
Yeah.
who did not consent.
Yeah. It seems like it's that this is just like political jerking off, basically.
It's
conservative porn.
Yeah. It's conservative softcore porn.
Yeah. I think we should kind of up him by doing the super ultra far left version of this, and it would be about a guy who goes into the military, but he's super far left and he is super into safe spaces and respecting people's boundaries, but he becomes the best Navy SEAL of all time.
No, I think we should do the same thing he's doing, but take it even more ridiculously
extreme. That's what Dave likes to do with trolls, I've noticed. Is anytime they're like, you know, the Earth's flat, like, yeah, it's also made of lava. He like just one-ups them. I like that about Dave.
That is one way to take it.
I'm a big reader. I think I might have to get this book. How deep it goes with these straw men, because that's right. What this is, a book of straw men.
Yes.
And a lot of people say, like, the problem with this world is Facebook. The problem with this world is liberals. The problem in this world is too much guns. The problem in this world is that each party has created a army of straw men that are the worst case scenarios that they just animate with their brains.
Right.
It's all made up scenarios that they've given them to hate on. You know what I mean? So it can't just be like, oh, I talked to a guy and he had different opinions than me. It's always like, oh, yeah. There's guys out there that they see a gun, they wet their pants, and they start crying, and then they let a black guy have sex with their wife right in front of them because fuck it, that's what they do. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, there seems to be what I always think of as a kind of a dishonest attempt at argument, which is, A, it's either a straw man, I'm going to argue something that is not your point, but is just my weird version of your point or exaggeration of your point, because I can't actually make an argument, so I'll just argue against some fantasy I have. Or it's taking the person as to having bad intentions. You know, like, if you view the other person as evil, then it becomes easy to just make up your own bullshit and think it's okay. Like, listen, I came from a very conservative family. I have conservative friends. I think for the most part, there are people on both sides who just make very misguided attempts at trying to do the right thing.
Right.
But there's this huge movement of just assuming the other side is somehow evil or stupid or despicable, or they don't know what's going on, or blah, blah, blah.
With us libtards, it's always assuming that they are, the conservative side are bullies.
Right.
And stupid.
Shot a gun doesn't care about kids and all this stuff. It's like, no, you gotta go. There's plenty of times. I love going out and shooting guns at a range.
Going out shooting kids.
Yeah.
Well, if they're snowflakes that demand coloring books.
Yeah, it is a big problem because it makes it so you can't have an honest discussion. If you were to just sit down and say, hey, what do you believe? Okay, now you tell me. Let me tell you what I believe. Let's see where the differences are, and let's talk about why we believe different things. But that never occurs, because it's always like, all you want to do is tell everybody they have to use 75 different gender pronouns, and everybody goes in the same bathroom where they're allowed to rape kids.
Well, yeah, and the problem is that you can find that guy.
Sure, you can find him.
But he's alone.
Yeah.
And we all point to the each other's party's stupidest guy and go, that's how they're all like.
Right. Well, their stupidest guy got elected president, so I think we're kind of.
Well, no, here's this. It's like, I could go down to a bar not far from here, and I could get a guy in a trucker hat going, problem with all these coloreds.
Oh, totally.
You know, I could get that guy, and I could show him to all my libtard friends and go, look how they all are.
Yeah.
But really, he represents a small demographic. Just like there was that news story that came out, I'm going to say, it might be going on 5 years now, where Fox News followed around this surfer bro stoner guy that lived with his folks, and he's like, he's showing them all the stuff he buys with his food stamps while not needing them. He's like, yo, I can go to this store, this Albertsons. Look, I just bought lobster. Now I'm eating lobster for dinner, bro. And like, it just cut back to the studio like, do you see how 100% of them are? Do you see how 100% of social services are used? Like, maybe 99.9%, but definitely 100%.
Yeah, I think the hard part, too, is as things go with the internet, we now give the further swinging people more of a platform. Like, it used to be, you had one news station, you know, Walter Cronkite was on there telling you things, and then everybody could have a conservative or liberal opinion as to what that was. Now it's like, you get these super, super far ends of the spectrum on each side that then perpetuate that myth. Best example, Alex Jones, one of the most popular news media outlets in the world, is InfoWars now. And he very adamantly assured us that there was going to be a second American Civil War on July 4th
when
Democrats start attacking people.
As soon as I saw him post that, I'm like, well, it's a win-win for him, because when the Civil War doesn't happen, he's going to be able to claim that, like, his posting about it stopped it from happening.
Well, that, and, like, I mean, you know, he's obviously a nutty dude. He thinks Sandy Hook was fake and every chemtrails. He's batshit crazy. And he has a very slow processor. We have to understand, there's a wide range of...
I don't know if he has a processor.
Yeah, there's a wide range of human beings. We're all like computers. We all have different processing abilities. And some are really, really, really far down. In the same way that there's Shaquille O'Neal and there's Vern Troyer. And they both are humans and they're both on the same planet. You're going to have Alex Joneses who have just a weak processor, and they are, unfortunately, they are given this big audience to then speak to, many of which, and again, this isn't a conservative liberal thing, it just happens to be his audience, also have a very weak processor, and then you just get a bunch of stupid people screaming about a civil war that's supposed to happen.
Are you saying that Vern Troyer is smarter than Shaq, or Shaq is smarter than Vern Troyer?
I believe he just passed, so I'm going to say Shaq is smarter because his processor is still functioning.
Yeah. Now, the biggest problem with this book... How is Jake Rivers going to stop these marauders when I'm certain this college is a gun-free zone?
Oh, absolutely.
So like, he doesn't have a gun. What's he going to do?
I bet you that's a plot point. I bet you that is a big plot point.
Oh, no doubt. This is when John posted this, everyone took turns on entries that it might appear in this book. Number one, betting dollars to donuts that when he does happen himself upon a gun, or even when the terrorists start shooting, some overweight... acne-scarred little puke chimes in, but this is a gun-free zone, and gets blown away. All right. Also,
No, it's going to be like this, but this is a gun-free zone. Yeah, I got this gun-free.
I don't think John Stone's that smart. I think he's just going to go, not anymore. Dun, dun, dun. He actually typed out D-U-D. I'm thinking there's that. There's definitely going to be a guy that goes up to the terrorists and says, do you know who my dad is, and gets killed.
Stop saying terrorists. They're marauders.
Marauders, land pirates, brown land pirates.
Yeah, we basically, they crowdsourced the book in this discussion thread. It was amazing.
There's probably a scene where somebody says something like, quick, everybody run. And he stands up and says, these colors don't run.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
By the way, I was just at a 4th of July celebration, like in a little neighborhood one, and a guy was wearing very...
Wait, you weren't participating in the Civil War?
No, not at all.
Shame on you.
Second Civil War.
Deserter!
He was very proudly wearing a shirt that said, these colors don't run. And he's like a good 350 pounds, and I was like, oh, that's irony. these colors don't run, and that's why they have diabetes.
These colors don't run. They also have trouble with stairs.
Yeah.
I went to a Home
Depot. Even a light jog is really asking a lot of these colors.
I went to a Home Depot last Monday, and I see a guy walking out, like, I'm going to say late 40s, he's with his kid leaving the Home Depot. He's got a gray t-shirt on. In the middle, American flag, right in the center, it says, God, country, period. My only thought was, what are the fewest amount of words I'd need to use to piss him off? Probably not many.
Well, the funny thing about the God, country, period thing is, you saw him walking out with his kid. It's like, what about family, bro? Come on. Like, I'm sorry, if you go God, country, you don't even have your family in the equation, you're a piece of shit. You have your priorities really wrong.
I promise you, if you said that to him, if you called him on it, he would pull out a gun from his waistband, point his son's head, and shoot his son. That's how committed he is to God, country.
I will be forgiven. No, I just, that's the big joke, isn't it? Like, is that... the people that have more, like, America, I got a black and white flag with a blue line through it, fucking God, country. It's like, dude, those are always the easiest offended.
That's true.
And they're always the ones all going, sorry, libtard snowflakes.
Yeah.
I just posted a picture of a family all holding guns together. Oh, you're all crying right now. That's what you're doing. I love how they always assume the win.
Right. Yeah.
It's always like, oh, you're crying and wetting your pants right now. No, that is what's happening.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you don't actually have real dialogues. But I do like the idea that we should go around and find people with laughably obtuse beliefs that are presented on their T-shirts and just see what we can't say to piss them off. Let's do like an impractical joker.
Get 8 words maximum.
Yeah,
right? You go up to them and you can't say something aggressive. You just have to state an opinion. You can't call him a name.
Uh-huh. All right, I just thought of this one. So
him.
I'll go first. This isn't very good because I just thought of this.
All right,
you spelled good country wrong.
I would go with them,
hey bro, great shirt, high five them, then go, that's right, Allah Akbar, and then walk away. You didn't specify which God.
That is a good one.
Or you just go up to the God country thing and you, in order, you point your finger at each of those words. And you just go fake, stupid, and walk away.
That's funny.
Or you just be like, yeah. Not since Hillary lost. And just watch him rip it off like Hulk Hogan and challenge you to a fight he doesn't know how to participate in.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
By the way, I feel like God country is just a different genre of country music. What is it? This is God country.
I feel like that's just country music. So I got a friend request on Facebook not too long ago, and I couldn't place where I knew this girl from. And had a few mutual friends who I... Those kind of mutual friends where you're like, I know that person also, but I still can't narrow down where I know this person from. I'm like, gosh, she looks familiar. Did college? Is it cut now? You know, and it bugged me so much.
Was it when Marauders held us hostage in college? Is that what it was?
Oh, I know, man, in my coloring book. That's right. She hogged the last one.
Oh, she's the one who amputated my leg in that second Civil War.
So anyways, I'm puzzled by it. And then finally it dawns on me, oh, this is a person where, like, back in 2010, I met her at some bar. We'd been friends online or something on MySpace or something. And she asked me out. She asked me, and I was like, wow, things are going well. That's why I'm so distrustful when pretty girls make the first move.
Oh, you should be.
I'm like, maybe it's my self-esteem, maybe it's experience, where if a pretty girl is like, hey, you're really cute, I'd like to date you, I'm like, what do you want?
Yeah, you should just yell, tell your stupid friends you lost the bet. I'm not giving you my number.
Yeah, I'm not going to your pig dance. So anyways, she's like, yeah, let's go out. I'm like, all right, cool. And like, we texted a couple days leading up to the date. I'm like, this is going well. I did that stupid thing where I thought maybe something nice will happen to me, which I can't even keep a straight face now when I say that. So I'm like, oh, I met someone. This is cool. And right before the date, I thought this was weird. I forget if it was MySpace or Facebook at the time. It was right in that little gap.
Overlap.
That overlap. She like posted a picture of me, got a date with this guy tonight. That's pretty cool. And I'm like, what? That's kind of weird to do with, like, that's something you do with
my
like
low self-esteem would be going through the roof. I'd be like, she's fucking with me somehow.
Something
this is some kind of
bad happening. Yeah. Like, that was...
Are you harvesting my organs?
Is there a bucket of blood above my head right
that
now?
That was to someone who was not me.
Right.
That was to... that was directed at someone. And, like, at the 0 hour of this date, like, she's like, hey, so, listen, I'm sorry... I'm not going to be able to go out with you. This guy that I was kind of seeing, but we weren't official. He decided to make it official, and like it took me all of 8 seconds to be like, oh, I see what happened.
Oh dear,
you had a guy who you actually liked, and he was like, hey, sorry, can't commit, babe. You know, just trying to play the field, just trying to do my thing. You know, which. Isn't that what we all want? I get it. I don't fault him. And he just wanted to get all the pussy he could before he locked it down with this girl.
Yep.
And then she went, hey, look at this this fighter comedian guy. I'm probably going to fuck him. And he went, hey, all right, don't. Hey, we're playing the field. We can't give it. Oh, all right. Fuck. Don't fuck that guy. I'll be your boyfriend. Okay. I'll be your boyfriend. Dude, don't fuck that guy.
Oh my God.
And then she called me up and went, oh, you served your purpose.
That's like relationship chicken.
It is. It is. You literally, you just got used. You didn't even get the date, which is like, it would be one thing if you had the date and then you got the call the next day, like, it just didn't work out or something like that.
Sure.
You were literally just used as a prop.
I was a pawn.
She didn't even need you. She could have gotten a clip art guy.
Yeah, go on.
Put that on.
Bro, go on Google Image and get an actual UFC fighter or like Bill Burr.
Yeah.
Like you could have done, I am a failure at everything I've tried. Just get someone successful and be like, look who I got.
Yeah, also you can, oh my God. That, first of all, that's horrible. That's a shitty thing. I hope bad things happen to her. Second of all, I want to know, when you saw her Facebook profile, is she still with that dude?
Married with a kid, so I'm not that mad.
With
the
dude?
Yeah, with a kid. Yeah, it's the guy because I stayed friends with them for a minute, and they're like, you know, I saw the budding of their happy romance. I'm like, oh fuck this, I'm fine. I'm like, don't you think that was the first thing I looked into? I'm like, oh, I hope you fucking. I'm gonna post all my wedding photos at once, and then just like, oh look, it's our baby's second birthday. I'm like. All right, can't be mad at that.
Wait a second. Maybe she's after a different guy, and these are fake wedding pictures with a fake kid that she's
trying to get
Ryan
back. She's trying to get him back.
It's the long con.
She fucking stole a kid. Taking pictures at the park.
She needs Jake Rivers to come get that kid back from him.
Oh, my God. I got a similar one. Mine's not nearly as good, but I remember back in high school, back when, like, I think it was like 17, and I was like, I didn't date at that age. I was like slow to get into dating, so I didn't really know what was going on. But this chick asked me, in my class, asked me to go to see a movie. Ryan, you'll love this. It was Pet Sematary.
Yeah!
Went to see Pet Sematary. No big deal. Watched the movie. It was fun. We're both into horror.
How old are you?
What?
That movie came out in 1988. Holy shit.
89. So then a few days later, you know, just in high school, I started hearing rumors that this chick was saying that her and I made out in the back of the theater for the whole movie.
Okay. Ooh.
And I couldn't figure out the end game. I was like, is she just trying to make herself seem desirable? So I have no idea.
And nothing. Again, nothing happened on the date?
No, nothing at all.
It would be funny, though, if like...
Did you make a move and did she pull back?
No, I was way too awkward to try anything like that.
I hear you. I hear you. Same way.
It would be funny if, in your mind, because that would be such a good thing to have happened, Dave's like, wait a second, did that happen? Did I just black that out? Oh, shit! Awesome! Starts high-fiving people.
Yeah.
Did you ever figure out the motivation?
No, I mean, we weren't super close friends. We were like high school friends, and we stayed friends after that. Like, I was shy and awkward, so I never brought it up to her.
So you stayed friends, and you never asked her why she spread that rumor?
No, okay, way too awkward and shy.
Call her right now.
This is why Facebook exists, Dave, because you can find her now, and you can figure out what happened.
Can we do like a two-episode arch on that?
Yeah.
Speculation. What do you guys think?
Ooh, okay. A, she was trying to get a guy to be her boyfriend.
I think, all right, so was she awkward too?
A little. She was like an outcast type of, one of the like punk rock kids, sort
of. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, then that makes a little bit more sense. I mean, women aren't too different from men when they are in their adolescence. And I think that like maybe since she was so awkward and outcastish as well, she wanted to maybe fit in with her friends that maybe are actually having these
makeout
stories.
She's like, hey, I'm cool. I made out.
She can hang out too. You know, she's like not trying to be like, hey, I'm the slutty girl, but she's also like, everyone wants to keep up with their friends, you know?
Right. Okay, that or side possibility, and this may not seem super likely, but I'm going to go ahead and go for this. There was a nerdy kid, nerdier than Dave, in the high school who had oral herpes. She made out with that guy, caught them, felt a herpes sore coming on, made the fake date with Dave, then spread the rumor around that she got it by making out with Dave on the date so nobody figured out she was on the date with the nerdier dude.
No, everybody knew I had herpes,
so that was fair enough.
Bobby, have you ever had someone that dated with an agenda?
I did, and it was an epic date. I consider it the worst first date of all time, including everybody else's first. This
did,
isn't my
did
worst
she
first
hire
date.
An actress
this
to
is,
pretend to be a fortune teller.
That wasn't a first date. And that
was
for
last date.
No, I still dated that girl for quite some time after that. But,
I remember.
No, this is what I consider the worst first date ever that anyone has had. Also, there was an ulterior motive that I didn't discover, unlike you, I didn't get to discover it 8 seconds into the telephone call. I didn't discover it till about a month later. So this all started back when I was in my single days, mid-20s. I'm living downtown in a nice condo. I live with my friends. We're having a really good time. We throw some awesome parties. We're throwing some really sweet party, and one of my...
I feel like you're overselling this too much. You're not that cool.
My roommate, I was that. One of my roommate's friends shows up just smoking hot. Just unbelievably hot. So obviously I...
What was his name?
So I'm hitting on her a little bit, and that's going fine. I go on to do what I call getting browned out, where you're not blacked out in that you don't remember everything.
It's spotty.
Yes, it's spotty. And then when somebody reminds you of something, all of a sudden the memories come running.
That wasn't a dream.
So a couple of side notes we had in there. My roommate, who was a girl, her boyfriend was there at the time, or the guy she was dating, as was this super nerdy dude who was trying to get with her and therefore was like trying to, even though she had a date and she was dating this guy for a bit, he wanted to somehow weasel his way in. So super nerdy dude was very, very annoying. One of those purposely annoying, peck at everybody kind of dudes. The theme of our party was like Mexico or something. I was wearing a sombrero with a poncho. I was going around doing the thing. If you ever go to TJ.
Culture appropriation.
Yeah, I was totally appropriating a bunch of culture. If you ever go to TJ, there's a guy and his entire job is running around the bar and he has a big sombrero on and he blows a whistle while pulling your head back and pours tequila down your throat.
I don't know about you guys, by the way, but I first went to Mexico when I was 17. I know earlier for Bobby since he lives around here since he was a kid. But when I was in the Wild West of Tijuana my first time at 17, and I went into a bar, and that guy grabbed my head, put the tequila in my mouth without asking, and poured it, I went, what a great free service.
Naive, you little man.
I'm like, oh, he would certainly have to ask me for my consent if I was going to agree to a purchase. Yep. And I found out after my second whistle, not so much.
Now, maybe the payment is getting this whistle blown in my ear. But anyway, so I think that guy was being super annoying. He kept bothering somebody who was at the party, a young lady who was at the party. And then, so I was running around and I think I yelled something like, woo, and I blew a whistle and I held his head back and put tequila in him.
No, this was the guy she was dating or the nerdy guy?
The nerdy dude who was trying to interject and was bothering everybody, and he got really mad at me, and we were out on a deck, and he got really mad, and he confronted me. He was like, hey, what are you doing? Fuck you. And I was like,
you're fucking up my game, bro.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, bud, it's a party. We're all having fun. And I just did like the casual thing.
You're throwing a wrench in my whole program.
I did the thing that annoys anybody who's desperate for attention, which is dismissing them. Like, this guy was clearly desperate for attention. He's the guy who goes and pokes you 1,000 times, wait for you to do something, and then calls everybody's attention to it. And so
I feel attacked.
Yeah. And so I was just like, oh, yeah, well, I was just having fun. You know, if you have a problem with it, sorry. You know, and he's like, no, I want an apology. And I was like, I mean, I'm really sorry that you seem to be bothering a lot of people at my house, and then now you're kind of like making a weird, awkward moment. And at this point, everybody's gathering around. and I did a little dressing down of him for that. But eventually, like, he looked like he was going to get angry or violent or anything and just kind of, and then wandered away.
Now, Bobby, this is surprising to me because famously, your move, when there looks like there might be violence, and it sounds like he was starting to amp himself up for that, albeit and he probably couldn't pull the trigger,
right,
is that you will refuse to let someone's ego get hurt because you said that's the way that starts violence.
True.
What was different about this time when you were obviously willing to risk some violence?
Good question. I was drunk. I'm a very different person when I'm drunk, and I start some shit sometimes.
Okay.
And so I just kind of dismissed him. He was very perturbed or whatever. Anyway, long story short, wouldn't say I was acting like a huge asshole. Probably a little bit of a prick, but I will say this. As that guy turned around and walked away, I got a standing ovation from the party because everybody was so frustrated with this guy. It was like, yeah, thank you.
Now, quick question. Did you forget this story is supposed to be about someone who dated you with an agenda?
Not at all.
Okay.
But I did forget this entire incident happened. Again, I browned out, so I had forgotten all this. The super attractive girl who I'd been hitting on before, she started digging me. We hung out, made out a little bit. It was really fun. I come back, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is a gorgeous woman. I can't wait to go on a date with her. She agrees to go out on a date, like, the next night. I'm super psyched.
She's 700 pounds. Oh, yeah.
I go to go pick her up. I should have known there was a problem when I go to go pick her up. She is already halfway through a water bottle full of wine that she has brought with her.
Oh, man.
So she comes out holding a water bottle full of wine that's half drunk.
I feel like at that age, that's a good sign.
Yeah, but can I just say one thing about the stowaway drinks? Is that there's something more acceptable about a stashed cachet of liquor, or maybe even a mixed drink if you have like a Mountain Dew bottle that's got some vodka in it. When you transfer beer or wine into a receptacle that's not a beer or wine bottle, somehow it becomes a little sad and desperate. I don't know why or what the difference is, but if someone's like, I'm drinking wine out of a Coke can, I'm like, weird.
That's very
you
true.
Need to stop.
That's very true. We went out to like Dave and Buster's. It was great. She's already somewhat drunk. We're hooking up in the parking lot. She wants to go out and hang out at her friend's going away party in PB. We go down there. And things start
I got a Yahtzee shaker full of Labatt Blue.
Yeah. Well, things start getting hairy because she starts getting wasted. And I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, all right, she's kind of at the point where she's too drunk for us to hook up later with me feeling good about it. And also, she's starting getting rowdy. And
oh, man, I've been a prisoner of those days.
Yes.
Ooh,
yeah.
You are nothing short of a prisoner because if nothing's going to happen, like you said.
Right.
But if you leave her, you are a monster.
Yeah, and she is... She's rowdy. She's got the entitlement of an attractive drunk chick. Like, an attractive drunk entitlement is worse than any Vanderbilt. It's worse. Attractive drunk chick entitlement is worse than the king of fucking France. Like, nobody has more entitlement than a super attractive, super drunk
Jake
chick.
Jake Rivers would hate that.
Yeah.
He'd tell her, go to your sizz.
Well, I'll
bathroom.
Tell you why he might like her in a second. Because we park, we're walking through PB. She's wasted. A guy tries to sell her a CD, one of those dudes who are like hanging out outside. He's like, hey, buy my CD. She takes the CD and walks away.
Oh, dear.
So now this guy comes after me and he's yelling at me, you got to give me $5. You got to give me $5. I was like, bro, I don't have any cash on me. I don't know what you want. He's screaming at me. I go to her. I was like, can you give me that CD? And she starts yelling, fuck this N-word. But she doesn't use the term N-word. And I went, okay, oh, my God. I grabbed the CD out of her hand real quick, hand it to him. Go, I'm so sorry. And I just push her along the street. Like, we got to get out of here. Go, 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 go.
Move her. Is he a man of color?
Yes, he is. Oh yes, no. Yes, he is.
And this is not a drill.
And I am now trying to move her along. I get her to.
Was he just stunned by it? Like,
yes.
That happened?
Super stunned. By the way, she's not white. She's also not black. She's like got some, I don't know, maybe Latina in her or something. But
I've noticed those shades of khaki think they're allowed to use that word.
Yes, most definitely not
and
black.
Super not.
Yeah, no, not at all, not at all. And so as we're walking up Garnett Avenue, the main stretch in PB on a Saturday night, just packed with people, packed with people. You got to elbow people.
Who comes running out of the crowd at Mr. Jake Rivers?
She. Still angry, apparently, about the CD incident, starts yelling...
She wanted that CD?
F that N-word.
Oh, no. In a big, big... crowded, what have you?
In a place where we are probably passing by 300 people a minute. You know, just screaming it. And I'm just pushing her along from behind, like, all right, my job is when...
And again, if you leave her and go,
yes.
You know, fuck this.
Oh, yes.
You're the monster.
Of course.
If something happens to
she'll
her.
She'll be murdered. You can't just wander around like a drunk
Maybe
person.
That's not bad.
Yeah. So I'm pushing her along and I'm like, all right, my goal is this. I'm
It's a good thing, but that's not how history will remember
as
Bobby's concerned.
No, yeah. And so
Bobby's trying to cover for her outburst by me. Yes, honey, we'll get a threesome. Yes, yes, we'll find him and we'll get a threesome.
I will do what you say. No, I'm walking like 3 feet behind
that's some
her.
Cuck stuff you're talking about, are you?
And my entire goal is like, if somebody flips out and starts beating her, I can jump in and stop. I'll just walk right behind her. That's the only thing I can do. If she's behind me, I won't see it when the crowd mauls her.
Right.
So I finally get her to the bar she wants to go to. Funny enough, there's a stand-up performing. This is before I'd ever done any stand-up. And it's a big bar. And she decides to be the drunk...
Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Shores.
Yeah. And she goes up, and her friends are all having a big party in this area. And I go, and she's like, yeah, these are my friends. And I realize they're all dudes. And from the looks they have, the second she's like, this is my date, I realize, oh, she's banged at least two of them. Like, they invited her here as like, come on, fun, hot party girl.
Oh, boy.
And she took it as, my friends are going out of town. I'm going to bring a date to this thing. And I just catch myself, and I was like, oh, okay, this is super uncomfortable. She sits down on one of the dude's laps and just kisses him right on the mouth. And I was like, all right, I'm going to make the best of this situation. I like comedy. I'm going to go listen to the comedian. So I go, hey, oh, this sounds like great. Looks like you're having fun here. I'm going to go into the next room real quick while you meet up with your friend. She's like, oh, okay, cool. And I go into the room and I start watching the comedian. It's pretty funny. It's about a 150-seat room, like a lot of people packed in on a Saturday night. She comes stumbling
in. Who books
in
this room? Real quick.
This is 10 years ago. She comes stumbling into the room with two drinks in her hand, which as she comes through the threshold of the room, which is lighted and kind of near the stage, she spills both of them on herself, turns to nobody around her and yells, fuck you! Like, she had thought she had gotten bumped into, but she was in the spotlight, basically, as this happened.
What?
Nobody was around her.
What did the comedian then do?
Well, the comedian, you see it in his eyes, because he's already
do
having
a good
set. Do you
know who this was, by the way?
I don't. His eyes suddenly turn to what you would if you were just walking down the street by yourself and you saw three $100 bills on the ground. Like, my God. Oh, I don't know what I did to get this, but I'm so happy it's here.
And but then also... How am I going to spend this?
Yes.
Because there's a few options here I could go with.
So she drunkenly walks over to me and just sits on my lap. And I'm kind of up near the front, so we're still both very much in the light. It almost seems like a prepared bit. It is that much on the nose. My favorite thing is, again, she had two cups, both of which she spilled on herself, but again, still has like half a cup left. So she comes and sits on my lap and dumps both of the other two purposely out on me and yells, now we're both wet. The comedian begins ripping on her so brutally because she's clearly too shithouse to be there. So he just starts ripping on her and her nonstop. She doesn't understand she's being made fun of.
Of course not.
And so she's laughing she's laughing and clapping along and going, he's so right. Oh my God, it's so funny. I am hot.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And eventually at some point I'm like, okay, this has really reached a breaking point. I was like, all right, we need to leave. And I get her out of the bar, get her down the road. As we pass back going by the car.
Stop and grab that CD.
No, but she sees the CD guy again and starts screaming again.
Oh my God.
And this time I don't even do the like push her along. I do the pick up by the waist and speed walk down the sidewalk because there is not a quicker way to get this person out of
a sack of potatoes.
Yes.
Now.
Yes. And get her
now,
over.
Was she mad when you do that?
No. She's still mad at the guy. She's like yelling. She treated it like it never happened, like she is just in a car moving by and she's insulting the guy, you know. And so I pick her up and she's still yelling. I get her to the car as we start driving back home and she's like, I don't know, maybe we should go to another bar. And I was like, no, I'm taking you home. This is it. As we're driving, she blares the music, turns it all the way up.
Always?
Rolls the window down and starts hanging out the passenger side. And I'm like,
always.
This is PB. There's probably 3 DUI checkpoints within
the
half a mile.
The DUI capital of San Diego. Yeah, if you don't live here, you need to know that part.
And the bar capital. And the young person drinking capital.
And the frat boy and Marines fighting capital.
Everything. And I'm like, no, you can't do this. We're going to get pulled over for sure. And she's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. The cops know me. And I was like, that doesn't even
cops
make sense. What do you mean the cops know you?
That actually makes it worse.
Yeah. And she asked me to pull over, so where she proceeds to vomit. Opens the door, but then vomits through the window anyway. So opens the door, but then vomits through the open window.
That's called a skill shot.
That's a pro move.
No, it's a shot that means you are getting it on both the fender and the door of the car because now you have a right angle to throw up into.
Oh, I hear you.
So she has actually gotten more vomit on the car than if she would have just opened the window and puked out. I am super frustrated. I take her home. I think that's the end of it. I'm very happy to be gone with her. I talked to her good friend, who is my roommate later on, and I'm like, first of all, what's the deal with your friend? She's like, yeah, she's a fucking
mess. Oh, you don't know what an alcoholic is?
Yeah.
She's like, at this point?
She's like, she's a mess. And I've told you that 10,000 times. I was like, yeah, but she's hot. I didn't know. I haven't been listening.
We're trying to go to mess to hot ratio here.
And I was like,
yeah. Show me a fucking chart.
I was like, it was so weird. And she like took me to all these weird places. And she's like, yeah, she only dates assholes. Like she.
Congratulations.
Yeah, she only dates total assholes. Like it was weird that you guys, that she was even into you. And I was like, yeah, that is weird. And then Damien, who was at the whole party,
has this realization that he's an asshole. This is when he first knew.
He put two and two together. He's like, well, dude, that thing that happened on the porch, you kind of seemed kind of like an asshole. Like, you had seemed like an asshole when you were talking to that kid on the porch. She saw that and was like, this is the type of guy I date.
That's what gets your name on the door around here at City Enterprises.
So when we went on the date with Stone Cold Bobby, who's like opening doors and paying for drinks and like,
fuck,
don't yell
N-word
at people. Yeah. When I'm on that, she wanted not only nothing to do with it, but I was the complete wrong choice. Let's go hang out with those dudes I banged one time. Let's go to this thing. And half of me was like, oh, she went to those dudes who wanted to be, she was trying to get guys to fight. And she's, and like my roommate was like, yeah, one of her favorite things is to get dudes to fight over her. Like, she was trying to cause shit. She thought I was the type of asshole who'd walk into a bar where a guy was having his going away party and be like, you banged my girl, and like get into a beef.
She
thought I was gonna fight the black guy at the liquor store.
That's why she sat on his lap and kissed him.
Yeah,
like, oh, this will get it going.
She was trying to basically start shit. So she had an issue where she dated assholes that she got to fight over her so she could feel important. And she made the mistake of seeing me in a drunken moment that could be considered an asshole moment, thinking I was one of those dudes and being like, yes, this is exactly what I want to do with my night tomorrow.
I gotta say, I got one similar, but it's got to be a little bit worse, maybe the same, if anything, is that this ties back into why I'm like, whenever a girl comes on to me, I'm like, this is a problem that needs to be resolved by ignoring it.
Queen of pranks. Queen of pranks.
So I'm out with my friends at this this metal bar that doesn't even exist anymore in Ocean Beach called Dream Street. It was a heavy metal bar.
Yes.
And just one night, this smoking hot, by anyone's standards, girl is just hanging on me, kissing on me, asking me to take her home. And by the way, this doesn't happen to me.
Right.
So I'm like, what's your agenda? I'm like, your boyfriend's in the fucking parking lot with a fucking pipe, isn't he? No, I don't. But anyway, much to my surprise, I went home and things went fine. And she took a cab by herself the next morning. I'm like, wow. Wow. Someone came on to me and nothing bad happened to me.
Miracles do happen.
Ryan wakes up the next morning, starts checking for stitches where his kidney used to be. I was doing all this.
I'm like, this doesn't add up. But then I decided to go double down. And I called her. She left me her number, and I called her. I'm like, well, this is fun. She obviously liked me quite a bit. And she's like, hey, why don't you – I was living in Ocean Beach. She's like, let's go on a date. Why don't you come pick me up in El Cajon? I'm like, shit, 30 minutes away. But I'm still a young man at this point. When you're older, distance is everything. You know, when you're younger, you'll cross state lines to be with a woman. But fucking, like, when you're 32, you're like, you have great tits, but El Cajon, are you fucking kidding me?
Right. Yeah, right now, I might not leave my house to go to a party, depending on how good my parking spot is in my neighborhood.
That's true, yeah.
Right, but, you know, there was a chance at second sex on the line here.
Oh, for sure.
We've already gotten the awkward first one out of the way. Now it's that great gray area.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm like, yeah, I'll be there. So we said 8. I show up 8:02. She answers the door in PJs, no makeup, just hair, eventually... Oh, good, you're here. I'll start getting ready. I'm like, oh, that sucks. So anyways, I come in. She just hands me a baby and says, here.
This is yours now. She runs away. I'm free.
It's like hot potato. You're the last one to touch it.
Might as well have, because she went, here, watch this. Not her, not him.
Oh, God.
I'm willing to believe she wasn't being progressive by the non-gender specific.
She just forgot.
And she's like, oh, watch this. And like walks upstairs. 26-year-old Ryan's like, what does it eat?
Yeah.
No, dude, I'm 23. I'm 23.
Wow.
So I'm like. So she goes upstairs and proceeds to get ready for the better part of an hour and a half. I'm downstairs with this kid by myself. And then
also, what's the plan for when you guys leave? What's
a sinner did come?
Okay,
which was going to be my next question. I'm like, I hope you don't think that I'm going to allow you to put a big bowl of kibble next to this.
Yeah,
thing.
Ryan's holding it up by its scruff, being like, now what?
I gave it an Egg McMuffin.
I mean, I guess he could come with us if you want, but like, I don't have a car seat. Like, I don't know if he fits in a cup holder or how this works. I got a center console.
So her sitter shows up. She's like, great, let's go. She's all done up, all hot, like when I met her. I'm like, all right, we're around here is good. And she's like, let's go back to Ocean Beach. I'm like, fuck. So now we're at an hour round trip.
Right.
Okay, we go back to my neighborhood, at least we're in my neighborhood. I'm like, where do you want to go? She's like, I don't have my ID. I forgot it. And she's like, I'm like, well, I don't know what you want me to do. We're people in our early 20s in Ocean Beach. She's like, how about this? Let's get some beer and a pizza and go back to your place and watch a movie. I'm like, bing, 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 bing. Perfect date, perfect second date, perfect whatever date this is. I'm like, yep, we're doing that. We do just that. We get a pizza, we get a DVD, because that's the time of the era we were living in from Blockbuster, and we get some beer. We have dinner, we watch a little bit of the movie. She's like, let's go out. I'm like, well, you said you don't have your ID. And she goes, yeah, but we go back to that Dream Street, the bar we met at. Like, they know me there. I'm like, all right. Okay. All right. Okay. So we go there. True to her word, the door guy knew her and me. He's like, hey, guys, oh, you guys want to take care? That's cool. We go in, and she starts proceeding to talk to everyone but me and drinking Patron shots on my tab. Now, she is going back one after the other of these things. I am 23.
Yeah.
That means I'm living on $100 a week.
Right.
That's about my budget. Maybe... At my most ballerist, $300 a week, and that's like if I just got paid, and it's my big check.
Not only that, but you're 23. When you went back to your house for pizza and a movie, you're like, okay, next step is sex.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we're going back out. Wait, what?
And by the way, I'm tallying that pizza, movie, and beer on my fucking my $100 in my bank account thing, and I'm watching her drain that fucking tab. I'm like, and so at one point, she lays this guilt trip on me. She's like, hey, my ex was really jealous when I talked to other people, but I just like to be social. You're not like my ex that abused me, are you, that was all jealous? I'm like, and of course, it's like, no. And then she proceeds to buy Patron shots on my tab and talk to everyone but me. Finally, it's starting to get towards close. She suggests, let's go to a party. She's not all the way drunk yet. I'm like, let's just go back to my place. She's like, come on, let's just stop in. My friends are throwing it. It's going to be really fun. I'm like, okay. It's around the corner, she says. She's like, we shouldn't come empty-handed. I'm like, of course we shouldn't. We should hop in the liquor store and get a 12-pack of beer. Proceed to go to this house party. Just like you, Bobby, with your story, I walk up to the biggest sausage fest there's ever been. There is not, I brought the only girl to that party. And I can tell by when we walk up that they were all discussing when that only girl was going to get there.
You had the exact same thing I did, where all of a sudden they look up and they're like, oh, there she is. Who the fuck is
who
that?
Who the fuck? So, and yeah, I'm like, I don't know. Were they going to take turns on this girl?
Right. You
know?
Yeah, they had already established like their own hierarchy among themselves. Now there's a new guy. Like, wait a second.
And as he walks up, they're all drawing straws.
I'm like, if you guys are really all sharing this chick, is one more really that big a deal? Then anyways, I walk up. She walks in. This is classic movie shit. She walks in. They let her like, hey, Paige. Yeah, good to see you. They like bodies close between me and her like a door. What's up, bro? Can I help you? I'm like, you clearly just walked in with her. They're like, we don't know you, bro. We don't know who you're talking about. I'm like, yeah, you do. They're like, hey, what are you doing with that beer there? I'm like, you guys don't have any beer here either. No chicks and no beer. What kind of party is this? They're like, well, you can come hang out if you give us that beer. I'm like, I literally take the 12-pack of Coors Light and shove it into the guy's chest. I'm like, take the shit. God damn it. So I walk in there. She's now nowhere to be found. I'm like just standing around. People are standing around just mad dogging me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm by myself. I have no friends there. I am clearly outnumbered. Don't know where my date is.
They're looking at you like libtard college students looking at an Army Ranger.
Yeah, exactly. And so finally, I'm like, and like one guy comes up, like, hey, who are you here with, man? I'm like, Paige is like, you should probably go, man. I'm like, I would love to. Go fuck yourself. And I'm walking out the door. As I walk out, I find my date. She's sitting on some dude's lap. He's all rubbing her thumb. I'm like, she's like, hey, what's up? I'm like, yeah, your fabulous friends are asking me to leave. She's like, oh. So I guess I'll just see you later then? I'm like, yep. Sounds good. I fucking leave. Very next day, I'm sitting in a movie theater watching the remake of Friday the 13th, and I get a text. It's from her. Hey, handsome, when are we hanging out next? When's our next date? I'm like, there will be no next date. And she goes, why? So I gotta say, we had very similar...
Yeah. Yeah, it is funny because there is just a contingent of very attractive young ladies who are able to breeze through life in that fashion and do that in a way that is, I'm quite jealous of. I mean, I wish to God I would have had anything like that, but I gotta imagine that's why it hurts them real bad when suddenly they start hitting 28, 29 and their looks go and the only thing they have.
Oh
they
shit,
have
I didn't spend
on.
Any time on working on my personality.
Yeah. Oh man, I've been a horrible person. I haven't figured out how to negotiate life. I don't know how to work with human beings and have empathy, and then all of a sudden it's just to shit.
It's like the college student that's really good at writing essays but sucks at testing, so they never study, and then but they know they'll ace the test. They'll squeak by with a C, and the professor says, all right, the rest of the class is going to be testing only. They go, oh, no, I didn't fucking do any work. Anyway, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos. But if you want to see me live, I'll be in Imperial Beach Friday the 13th at the IB Public House. That's Imperial Beach Friday the 13th. Come see me do some shit that isn't this. All right, see you next week, cruising with the twos.
Shit! Awesome!
Yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.